The Football Pod on Off the Ball. Brought to you by Movember, ahead of the game. Building mentally resilient GAA communities on and off the pitch.
How's it going? And you're very welcome along to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, and Tommy Rooney, and a flock of seagulls that are they're getting more and more rancid and rabid as the weeks go on in Croke Park. Lads, All-Ireland quarterfinal weekend. It used to be the August bank holiday. It used to be the best weekend of the year. It's still the best weekend of the year. We watched Mayo get through. We watched Kerry get through. We saw 14-man Loud get the job done. And Paddy, who's back?
Dubs are back, baby.
Oh. What a game. What a weekend. I thought we get to Dublin in a few minutes, I'm sure. Kerry Tyrone, I think we should start with that. That was the game of the season for me. Absolutely quality for both sides. Some unbelievable individual performances. Savage. Quarterfinal weekend is always the best weekend.
It really did feel like the game of the weekend in terms of quality. That like it was punch for punch, blow for blow. Mm. Tyrone producing moments of magic. Clifford, like, it nearly felt functional at times how he was getting points. It was Dylan Gainey though again, James, wasn't it?
It was Dylan Gainey again. But for on Clifford, he was so good. Like some of the shots he got over the shoulder, snapped them over beautifully. And then obviously he hand passed a few over the bar, which
had
to be done. I'm still not overly gone. What?
James, the people of the country, the people of the pod want to know how you've changed your tune on the hand pass point.
I was obviously joking. But imagine this for a rule change, right? And we won't imagine if he had to kick those over from different angles with the right and the left. You see an even a different side to a player. But anyway, that's it for a different day.
Can I ask you that?
Clifford was fantastic.
Does Niall Devlin deserve credit for forcing David Clifford to punch the ball over the bar?
No. He took him on the inside, burned him for pace and put it over. So no, that was one thing that I did notice about both sets of defences. In the one-on-ones, the forwards very much came out on top. Very much so. I thought, especially the Kerry forwards' movement to receive the ball was excellent. And Tyrone's defenders weren't really up with it, competing with the ball. And I think that once David Clifford gets the ball in hand, it's so hard to stop him. The same with Dylan. You mentioned Dylan. I thought he was absolutely sensational again.
Class.
Like,
so good.
The scores here's kicking. He rarely misses. But every score he gets is of a really high difficulty level.
Like
he's never chipping over a nice handy point. It's always a really difficult score, but he has such a catalogue of these now that his confidence is just through the roof. And to link him up with Clifford, for Paul Gainey's goal chance, do you remember very early in the game?
Yeah.
Dylan gets it. And very similar to the goal he gives Clifford in Killarney the other week, he picks him out with a beautiful pass right in the sweet spot in front of the goals. So Clifford can either go himself or slip it to Gainey. He slips it to Gainey for a goal chance. But those little moves and those little relationships are starting to build again in Kerry, and they're looking like a good attacking unit.
Of the four beaten teams, it feels to me like Tyrone come out with the most credit. We can't forget that Keith Evans from Kiel crawls back along the 45 after McKernan sells him that step. He slips and somehow gets his paw to that ball.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
but like career moment. Because if McKernan has a great record from that shot, there's a very good chance that's going over the black spot to level the game. So for Evans, he falls for the dummy. Fair enough. You think you're out of the game. To have the agility to come back and get block on. I thought it was just a brilliant moment for him. That if Kerry do go on and stay in the championship later on, it'll be something that he'll remember in his career.
Epic. And I spoke to McKernan afterwards. He reckoned he caught it on the sweet spot. He was even applauding. He didn't know who blocked it. And then obviously Kerry hold on and get that late goal. That late break that Clifford wins and they go down the end line. Myself and Paddy have an eye on Marty Morrissey, Jarlett Burns and Brian Carroll, the head of the CCCC. They're doing the draw somewhere beneath us in the Hogan stand here for the All-Ireland semi-finals. Right now, James.
It's live.
Live and exclusive.
And it's
not live.
Dublin can only play Mayo or Kerry.
Dublin can only play Mayo or Kerry. And Loud can only play Mayo or Kerry. Mayo and Kerry can't play each other. That is what we've got for the draw right in front of us. So before we get to the draw, because I keep an eye on it. Mayo and Kerry can't play each other. So I'm keeping an eye on the draw here. Let's just talk about Loud for a second, lads. We're going to do it properly in a couple of minutes. The scenes, Paddy. The noise. The emotion. It's hilarious. There was not a single red jersey left for the second game, James. You wouldn't have noticed that. Like, they all went home to Dundalk and Drogheda and RD and Termin Feckin for pints. But, wow, just glorious stuff.
Yeah, we're 14 men. Like, right, get onto the red car because it was a big moment. Oh, 6 minutes in. Person, to be fair, is normally... He lets it flow, lets it get very physical. He's one of the best refs. But I thought that Sean Callaghan red card was very, very harsh.
Do you reckon?
I thought it was.
We thought it was. Some people have said
it wasn't. I thought it was Stonewall.
Are you serious?
I thought it was. I thought he was a little bit late.
It's not cynical. I don't think it's that cynical. No?
No, it's not. No, it's a 21-year-old getting a little bit too excited and just left a bit on, but
okay.
He's unlucky. But from television, you're obviously seeing it live. It's a lot different. It looked like a red card offence on telly.
I thought it was a black card, but then I got a couple of texts afterwards saying, "What are you on? It was a red card." So I started questioning myself and Paddy. Then maybe we're seeing things after a couple of points in the boars last night.
But I think
what are the roars from there? Not the Dubs. Where are the Dubs? Where's that roar coming from?
We were all so disappointed that he was sent off. Do you know, for the game. Because they were 4-0 down.
Great game after.
Yeah, it was at the time.
But for Lou to turn it around, like an impact off the bench, McDonald, Kieran Byrne again, Darragh McDonald, lads, we said it earlier.
Loud's first All-Ireland final since 1957 is against Mayo. Dublin Kerry, Loud Mayo. Lads, we're in
Dublin
for a treat.
Jimmy, I'm not talking to you for the next 2 weeks. Break down.
Oh my God.
Was that the cheer?
Must have been the cheer downstairs.
Dublin Kerry, Loud Mayo. What an opportunity for Loud Mayo to be in All Ireland.
Unbelievable.
Do you reckon that was the Loud boys hanging around to celebrate the draw there? Is that the noise we heard? Because that was epic that cheer. Dublin Kerry, Loud and Mayo. Sean, thanks for being 1 second. I'm just giving back a box here. Stay with us.
But for Loud, like, it was an incredible performance. Monaghan, the Rory Beggan thing, we said it on the pod during the week.
Massive.
It was going to be big. And to be fair, Jamie Mooney was kind of thrown in at the deep end. Loud got on top of his kickouts. He was a bit jittery, but that was the platform for Loud. We knew Beggan. He's so pivotal to everything they do. Missing him. But also, I don't know if you could see it, Jimmy, at home. Like, Monaghan, it wasn't the same energy and spark that we've seen from Monaghan over the last couple of weekends. The likes of Conor McCarthy, Desi Ward, these guys have been outstanding. Jack McCarron was a little bit off it today, Tommy.
Yeah, he was. Now, he did hit a big two after missing an easy two. We call it easy. It's top
for
of the D on the left.
For him, for his quality. But Monaghan didn't reach the heights, and they just didn't seem to be able to manage the extra man. And we've seen that in such.
Yeah.
Like, defending the 10 against 11, it can nearly be a death knell in a team. But for Loud, they had the energy, they had the fight. They got the kick off the bench as well. And those young lads, James McGuire, Darragh McDonald. Class. Like, Malloy was quiet-ish by his standards.
Yep.
Still has some big moments.
Missed a big 2.3. As we say, easy for Malloy. That we say over the hill. Yeah, top of the arc. It felt like a massive, massive score. But again, those young lads you mentioned, I cannot get over.
James McGuire is class.
McGuire is class. He's actually been to club football camp across in Monaghan. But Darragh McDonald, lads. Like, we're going to get to Niamh Scully in a couple of minutes. We've raved about Dylan Ganey. There's a couple of young Mayo lads we'll talk about.
But Curry, 10 points. There's some serious individual performances up there.
Darragh McDonald, when you're down to 14, the amount of kickouts that guy won, James, what was it like watching from home?
It was literally him again, him again, him again. It was an awesome, awesome display of leadership, because I'm just imagining being out in the field, you're four down in the quarterfinal, a huge game for you. And next thing, a red card to your midfielder. I mean, the level of deflation that would fill you at that stage. It needs these characters to do something good, to have a big moment. And Darragh McDonald produced them time and time again to get possession of the ball. Like, Lowe's kicked 27 points with 14 men.
Unbelievable.
14 men kicked 27. It is a flawless display and attack. And off the bench, they got such a kick off their bench. Like, I mean, a couple of points that Tadhg McDonald got. Such pace.
Just
athleticism.
Pace, injection of pace. Yeah.
Yeah, and good decision making. And then obviously Kieran Byrne comes on and gets three absolutely beautiful points.
Loves shooting into the hill.
Hey, he loves Crow Park. He loves it here.
But lads, he said that Mulroy was quietish, right? He looked very influential on TV, I'll be honest. It looks like he was stuck in everything. But for that point, he gets a scuttery pass into the end line, and he does a beautiful pickup and stays strong and just gets rid. And that allows Kieran Byrne the time to swing it over. He had such, like anyone else would have been turned over in that spot and they'd have been on him. So that was a great bit of play by Mulroy. But yeah, Darren McDonald was one of the individuals that showed great leadership and responsibility taking.
I'm just reading a tweet here from Fintan O'Toole of the 42. This has been Loud's last 4 weeks after they were beaten by 10 points to Dublin and Leinster. They've beaten Dublin in Croke Park and scored 4 goals. They've beaten Armagh with a last-minute goal. They've beaten Monaghan with 14 men for 64 minutes to reach their first All-Ireland semi-final in 69 years. We thought we were experiencing the best months or 4 weeks in Loud's life last year when they were in a 20s minor and Leinster final at senior level. Yeah. They've just gone and done it again. Like, the county is going to be on wheels.
They deserve massive credit. We were talking about, like, was that the peak for this Loud team? You know,
yeah.
Jerry Brennan left. They didn't really raise a gallop in the All-Ireland Series last year. And you're thinking, slow start to Division 2 as well. Didn't get promoted. And you're thinking, has that team peaked? Is that their Everest? They've done it. But what Gavin Devlin has done, those key players, Kieran Downey, Craig Lennon, Tommy Dernan, kind of more reduced role, but Mulroy, for them to keep the show on the road, you need new blood to come in. Mm. You need energy. You need a spark to kind of refresh the whole thing. And that's what they've got with Maguire, with Callaghan, to be fair, before sending off, but throughout the season. And obviously with Darren McDonald as well. They've done one of the hardest things to do is bring through these successful underage players and slot them seamlessly into the team.
Mm.
And it just shows the environment that Gavin Devlin and those players have created, but also the quality these guys have. Like, they are ready-made. They're like some of the best players in the game and they're only 20, 21, so... While Loud have done it underage, you know, it's taken a number of years to get to here. But the most impressive thing is they didn't rest on the laurels after winning the Leinster Championship. They've gone again this year. And Loud and Mayo, like in an All-Ireland semi-final, lads. No one is calling that. an opportunity for Gavin Devlin and for Andy Moran and his boys.
Do you know, a huge score, Tommy, in the game was just before halftime when Downey slaps over a 2-point.
Downey.
They were level. And for a lot of the half, it was like they were kind of trying to stay in touch, kind of keep with Monaghan. It's like they were fighting against the tide. Let's stay in this game. And next thing, he slaps over that and they go in 2 up. And it's different mindset. It's like,
and he missed 2 before at Jim.
Yeah,
he did.
Kind of snatched the 2 shots beforehand. So it was like, when he took it on, we're like, don't know about that. Sailed over. And the 2-pointers, lads, we said it all through the season.
Savage.
They are just massive momentum swings.
James, I don't know, James, could you see it on the TV, but there's a savage new addition. It's an NBA-style addition to the flashboards
Noel
here
Quinn,
in Croke Park.
Shout out to Noel Quinn.
Noel Quinn in GA, he's obviously pulled that one off. When there's a 2-pointer scored, an orange flashes the entire way around from the Cusick stand side all the way around to the Hurling. It's class. It's nearly like on tier three, between tier three and tier four. Just the flashboards
It's on there.
It's class.
That's on the side of the pitch as well.
The flashboard. On the side of the pitch. It's unreal. It's cool. I don't know if you know
that.
That
is class.
It really stood out today. But like, okay, we've gone through Loud briefly. We haven't even gone through Dublin. Like, let's just start with one man. Niall Scully.
Class.
Mm.
Niall Scully, the summer of Scully. It's just a tour. I think it's all started in Port Leash when he decided to do his first ever post-match interview with me. And it's all gone up.
So you're taking it from,
I'm okay. taking it from that.
Well, we'll let you roll with that.
But I got a sense from that day that there was something special brewing within them. Like, there was just a bite and a hunger.
He's been class all year. Through the league, it was a difficult league campaign, but himself and Bugler were probably two standout forwards for Dublin. His playmaking, his work rate, he gets a massive turnover in Shane Walsh.
Remember,
like Dublin, that third quarter was looking ropey. They were on fumes. Johnny Marr gets the goal and Galway goes 6 up and you're thinking, maybe is that the end of the road? That all the energy expended last week to beat Donegal and it looked like it was one-way traffic. Scully gets a big turnover.
Don't rush past that turnover. Galway are 6 points up.
Oh, I know.
When Walsh goes into the trap. Yeah, Walsh goes into the trap.
But the big moment then as well, Colin Baskell gets fouled by Liam Silk for the black card and Gough gives the penalty. Like, Dublin needed a spark from somewhere. Scully was all the way through the game, just always taking the right option, game management, in control, hits 2 big 2-pointers as well. But for Galway to only score 1 point in the last 14 minutes is, it's like, we've seen that movie before from them, unfortunately. But Conn nails the penalty. Gleeson nearly saves it, heart and mouth. But Dublin, that sets them on the road for home. And they just manage the game. And that's the one thing Dublin have. And you said it to me as well. Like, Howard, Kilkenny, Scully, Davy Byrne, Conn, They have been there, done it, got the T-shirts. When that game is there to be won, they can control it. And they saw it out. It was epic stuff again.
Do you remember the break that Niall Scully won just beneath us here when Kenny broke it?
Slide on his knees. Michael Kenny, I think.
Does he? He gets nails. And it's just, it was just unbelievable. There was another point. Do you remember when Comerford finds Kilkenny, who finds Scully with the outside of the right boot past the con?
Oh, it's kick pass at the con. It was beautiful.
For a free in the first half. Just glorious stuff.
And Scully last year, and even the year before, he was kind of at a bit of a, not a crossroads in his career, but do you remember he's been taken off early? I think there was one game that Desi took him off twice. Or he got a black card. He left him
Desi
go back
on. Starting. Desi wasn't left, starting. For one
he,
got, as well.
He left him go back on or something like that and took him back off again. Like he wasn't happy in the camp. This year he looks like the man.
He feels it's his team. Serious leadership to give me the ball. He's always looking for the ball. Like a Paddy Clifford with Kerry. Scully is like, give me the ball all the time, and he's always doing the right thing. And his links record with
Eamon, I'll hand it over to John. Just recording. I'll hand it over to you. You're okay. I'm gonna hand this I'm gonna take a little break here on the football pod. In about 3 minutes. Can I give it to you in 3 minutes? Is that okay? Two.
We're being kicked out, but
Paddy
goes.
Paddy, on Scully. On Scully. Don't bite the head of me here. But has he changed his game with the new rules? I know he could always do it. But he was the master of the conductor, like Kilkenny, of slowing it down and moving it left and right. And now the way he's playing ball and kicking it, he's using the skill set that we knew he always had. But it's just unlocked in the last couple of months.
I think it's maybe the style of play Dublin are looking for. They want to kick the ball inside. And if you've Conor Callaghan in there, why wouldn't you? So he can do it both ways. He can keep the ball. He can control the tempo of the game. But he's always scanning out the in. What's the furthest place I could put this ball? And he hit Conn beautifully for... Conn gets 3 points in the first half, gets fouled for a couple of frees. So it's a great link up. But the biggest change is he's taken on the lead. He was a younger lad in our team, and there's likes of Connolly, Flynn, and these guys. Fenton was obviously a big playmaker as well. Where Scully's going, he's one of the only guys left there. So he's really taken it on, and he has the quality to back it up. So, and that's Dublin. Big thing you'd hope for 2 weeks' time against Kerry is Sean Bugler available, because they need a little bit more kick off the bench as well. It's going to be a game for the ages against Kerry. Like they're, if they're going to win this team, they're going to deal with the hard way. Jesus, but they're in it. Kilkenny again today as well, as always. Just like wrestling for kickouts.
Oh.
Johnny Marr, Paul Conroy, just dogging fellas. When you have guys like that in your team, you've got a chance.
Like for Dublin, back-to-back weeks, to beat Galway, then Donegal last week, like two huge games. To show up, the amount of concentration, energy, mental energy you'd need to deliver 2 weeks back-to-back against those two teams. Underdogs in both. Whatever the bookie said, Tommy, I'm not sure, but they were underdogs in both.
They were.
But my couple of points on this game, right? The penalty was a huge, huge moment. And did he foul him on purpose? I don't think so. Was there cover? Now, it's like the soccer rule. Do you know, you're kind of thinking, oh, he's coming back and he's going to cut him off and all this. It's hard to know exactly with the rule because it's happened so little what the situation is. But it did look like if Basquiat does get past him, there does seem to be other Galway defenders there to stop him getting the goal or stop him having a clear goal scoring opportunity. So it was a harsh black card to go with the penalty. I mean...
Oh, what the hell, Jimmy? You're the neutral here, go on.
I think it was harsh.
The stadium was like, this is a goal.
It felt like the denial of a goal-scoring opportunity, and that's the rule.
Yeah.
A black card penalty. It felt like. Now, the other one, on the other side, we talk about Galway only scoring a point in the last 15 minutes. Damien Comer hits the post. Walsh hits the post with a shot on an advantage. Yeah, shot on an advantage. It comes back to Johnny Maher. It looks like Goff's actually going to give the penalty there. And he goes back for the 2-point free. That would have been grand if Walsh nails it, but he hits the post again.
Okay, let's talk about that one, Tom. They have an advantage from a foul on Finnerty, is that right?
Yeah.
For that
outside
one.
Arc, yeah.
Okay. So he's stopped the advantage once the ball hits the post and brought it back. Or did he stop it after Maher goes down?
I don't think he'd blown the whistle yet. So
he should have given a penalty there, unless he's saying that Maher wasn't fouled.
Mara was fouled by Kilkenny. I think
he was as well. I think Dublin that could have easily been a penalty.
I think Dublin are lucky there, to be fair, because he plays the advantage. The advantage comes to Johnny Maher and he's fouled. on Kilkenny. Yeah. So it's Dublin got away with it, perhaps in that instance. But the biggest thing I'd say, just like always, they might be frustrated with that, but it was you felt like they were sleepwalking into this. Again, they played for 15 minutes to start the second half and really put the screws on Dublin on both kick-ins. You know, Johnny Marr, Keane Darcy was class again, like just winning kick-ins, hits 5 points. Finnerty, you know, so dangerous, but didn't see a lot. Killian McDade, he gets a point, he's taken off.
Darcy had a big game.
Darcy had a bit, but like Shane Walsh,
the
Comer only comes out. Killian McDade, Matty Tierney, Paul Conroy, all these guys were saying,
they weren't at their best.
And they weren't again.
It was like we had a DVD player. We slipped in a DVD of last year's All-Ireland quarterfinal defeat to me. They sleptwalk into it and they had their little burst.
Final against their man as well.
Yeah, or they had their little burst when they went 6-0 and somehow they let it slip from there.
But you know what happened, Tom? When they got the goal, when Walsh goes through, saved, good save, and Maher hits it in, instead of getting this surge of let's go and kill this now and everyone takes a step forward, I think they went flat. They went flat and they were like, I think we have this now. And they all just took a little bit, instead of going for the kill, let's win this, kick on now and play our best stuff. I think they didn't get there at all. And that's happened a lot with teams who are in their own semi-finals and finals but can't get over the line. And I bring a lot back to Dublin all the time. If Dublin got a goal against you, you're in for hell for 5 minutes. Because they're going to go for another one. They're going to go for another one. The crowd's going to be on you. I don't think Galway did that. They didn't kick on at all. But the whole
style of play, Jimmy, like their kickouts, it was so slow, wasn't it? Like Gleeson, we felt like the Galway struggle. The goalkeeper situation is not great for them. But Gleeson takes so long with his kickouts, just chips them out long. Dublin will get lots of joy in the first half. Any possessions Galway got, it was this really, really slow build-up. Okay, maybe do that once or twice, but every single play they were getting. And that's why that doesn't really suit the likes of Shane Walsh.
No.
But if you're playing Dublin, if you're Cork Joyce or anyone looking at Dublin, you're going, they're probably the area of concern for Dublin is in their backs, like particularly their full back line. Why would you not try and kick the ball inside the Finnerty, kick the ball into Walsh? They just never really did that. It was just that maybe safe style of play, passive style of play. They showed for 15 minutes when they push up and they're really aggressive. They're a serious team and we know it's all in there, but they just don't do it enough. And it's the same old story for them again, unfortunately.
I think this week, Tom, has shown that slow style is dead.
Gone.
That slow style ain't winning it anymore. Like, for what Lowe did, what Kerry and Tyrone did, what Dublin did, and Mayo didn't do it this weekend, to be fair, but what they can do, the fast football...
Mayo didn't play fast.
Like, they tried, but that game never really caught... It didn't really get the juices flowing, but the fast football is where it's at.
The Football Pod and Off the Ball is brought to you by Movember ahead of the game. Already reaching over 16,500 players, parents and coaches across Irish clubs. With the tools to look after your mental health, visit aheadofthegame.movember.com to find out how you can be a part of it. We're actually planning a little event with Movember on the first semi-final day, so keep an eye out around Croke Park that afternoon. Movember and Off the Ball will be doing a lot together that day. I also wanted to bring you a little bit of news. I think you have to go.
I do.
So I'm going to let you go. And James, you might stick with me for part two. We might go through Saturday's games. There's loads of Paddy on Off the Ball's GA feed if you want to check it out from earlier on.
Man's defence. Very good, yes.
Oh, he's back.
No, we threw the gauntlet down to them.
Tell me why. Tell me why in a minute.
Collective defence. It wasn't just, you know, McHugh goes on Sherlock, keep Sherlock out of the game. And we said this with Cork, it was going to be an area of concern for them. If Sherlock's kept out of the game, they don't really have a plan B. I think that was highlighted massively yesterday in the second half. But Mayo's intensity, collective defending, backup defence, which we saw none of against Meath the week before, against Monaghan in the first round of the All-Ireland series, where they got away with it.
Yeah.
It was a lot more solid yesterday, a lot more intensity. And just players backing each other up, not just worrying about Mayo were guilty of, I'm going to mark my man and forget about everything else and be dragged all over the pitch. It was just far smarter defence. And far more aggressive. But look, Cork, Lance Cork.
They let us...
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they let us in.
I told you. I told you last week, Lance.
I was very disappointed, yeah.
They're not going to have enough quality up front to expose Mayo. And like Mayo had a week to plan for that style of attack, and I think they can get a lot done in a week with a smart manager like Andy, and they did. Cork just don't have enough flair.
I think we redeemed ourselves. Redeemed ourselves with our predictions this week. I had 3 out of 4. Dublin catching me in the last one. I think you had 3 out of 4, and I think James had 3 out of 4 as well. So, one last bit of news, because the Thursday before the All-Ireland final has been a little bit of a tradition for us and the football pod. In Croke Park, roadshow. This year, Off the Ball GA are bringing you an All-Ireland final special with a little bit of a twist. Tickets are on sale now. We'll share the link. Myself and Owen Sheehan are going to be there on the night. Owen, host of Off the Ball in the evenings.
Are we bent? Are we gone?
We're going to have a very special guest that we're going to announce a little closer to it. But even two even more special guests are also going to be there. The two most influential football voices in the country. Drum roll, please.
Go on.
Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue.
We're out. Come on. Brilliant.
We can't have an off the ball.
We have to buy our own tickets, Paddy.
Yeah,
so that's the, I'm delighted now to have got that one over the line, and we're all back in business, and Owen's going to be with us and a very special guest, and it's going to be an unbelievable couple of weeks now building up to that. We're going to take a quick break on the football pod. James is staying with me. We're going through Saturday's games. Paddy, we'll be back on Wednesday for our member show. Thanks for today. Good work. Got through it.
Long weekend, lads.
Enjoyed it.
It was class.
Yeah, brilliant.
Great.
James, back in a minute.
Back, baby.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
OTB GAA.
Lads, see you later. I'll see you next weekend. Thanks for that. I'm just after letting John and Porrick, the men that look after us here in Croke Park, alongside Eamon, they always look after the press in Croke Park, get their TV, and they can finally go home now. And I've got the press box to myself. The majority of the journalists, James, are down underneath us here, chatting to Porrick, Joyce and Ger Brennan. So I'm missing that one today. Jonathan Higgins is covering for us and Off the Ball. It was great having Jonathan with us this weekend. The two of us covered a lot. Got a lot of great reaction yesterday. Two of the Tyrone boys, Michael McKernan and Darren McCurry, spoke to me afterwards. Very tough on them. Very tough defeat, but they put in some shift. But we might just start with Mayo and Cork, because Andy Warren came up to Croke Park with his young Mayo side. They haven't been here in 3 years. By God, did those kids settle early. Darragh Byrne, I was looking at him. He drops one or two at the start, and he comes in with a man in a match winning performance. Kobe McDonald, he scores a point in 30 seconds. He very nearly scores an all-timer goal at the death after running 60 yards with the ball at the hooter. He scores a two-pointer that I'm not sure. Nate, am I over-egging this two-pointer? I've never seen anyone hit an outside of the right two-pointer from the left into the hill.
It was a sweet, sweet connection. And I like the way he just held back. He was involved in the play. He just held back. He knew that the ball was going to come back. It was kind of smart. He knew he was had to just stay out of the way for a couple of seconds, and he was going to get the ball back. But the connection that he has, it's like that outside the right. He lets the ball go so low. It's like he gets that extra bit of whip and extra bit of power on it and still launches the ball so high. I must say, there's something very, very special about him. And I'm glad we're going to see him in a semi now, and a winnable semi, like a great game for them against Loud, a great game for him. But then there's always this niggling thing in the background. It's so disappointing that he's going to be going as well. But
yeah, I know.
After getting to an All-Ireland semi-final, which are county, regardless, win or lose, or say they get to the final even, final or semi-final, there'll be a serious pull on him when he does go over to Australia to come back. Like, the connections you'll have made with that team and with supporters and the feel-good factor, it'll be weighing on him when he does land over in Australia. So it'll be tough for him, to leave.
I think
what a chance for him.
I don't think the year could have gone any better for the manner in which Andy Moran, his family, Mayo 20s and Mayo themselves kind of handled themselves. He enjoyed his football. He did his leaving cert. We know how good this kid is. And he got to rip it up in Croke Park. I was watching him tear down the Cusick Stand sideline yesterday. And I was fairly sure he just burned Stephen Sherlock on the outside. It wasn't until this morning that I realised he fisted the ball over Sherlock's head and ran onto it. Like, yeah. He's taking the biscuit here, like. And and then Ryan O'Donoghue afterwards is saying, like, Kobe gets all the headlines. Like, Darragh Byrne is just as good. And Darragh Byrne, what Darragh Byrne did, like, he won 3 or 4 breaks on kickouts. But the two-pointer here, Benitez, in level 7, that was just, he'd already nailed a two-pointer. That was just glorious.
Yeah, it was. But he also gets, on the football pod, Tom, you know we like the one with the left from the left and with the right from the right. And he gets, just at the right time in second half, he gets one with the left from the left.
Massive.
And he just does the fist bump and you can tell he's in the game, he's delivering, he's just got a great score. Let's go for it. Like a great, again, I talk about like taking responsibility and showing leadership for a young fella to be coming up with those moments. And sheer class. Like we said on the pod last week, Croke Park brings that out. It's like you have that extra little bit of space that if you have that bit of class, you can deliver if you're brave enough. And Byrne certainly was this week. And that full forward line again, I think he gets 7. Does Ryan O'Donoghue get 8? Kobe gets 4. Like they are now, they're their 3 best players. All inside delivering. Now, I know they rotate and everything, but like, they're sharing the load there brilliantly.
I like the balance yesterday. And I wonder, is it the Kerry template with a creative 11 and 3 inside forwards as threats? They started Towie at 11. And then the Towie actually had a good influence in that first half. Lincoln played really well. And then to bring O'Donoghue out to 11 and they mix it up with Connery coming in. Look, I really like the balance. I've been saying about the Mayo attack for a long time. I know there was questions about the defence. They answered some of them yesterday. But 19 of 23 points from your full forward line. Like, their Mayo's only goal scorers in championship so far this year, the 3 of them. They've won each. Tommy Connery gets a point. Conor Loftus gets a point with a couple of minutes to go. And Jack Kearney kicks a two-pointer. They're the only other Mayo scorers. I think that's a good thing. And you look at the way Kerry do business. The way Paul Gainey, David Clifford and Dylan Gainey linked up yesterday with Paulie at 11. I just think that's such a good template for a team with two absolute animals in Joe O'Connor and Dermot O'Connor acting as extra midfielders at 10 and 12.
Well, I think you're 11, and that's why Andy was playing Ryan O'Donoghue at 11. Your 11 is so important. Like, they're going to be touching the ball a lot. They're going to give the centre back so many problems. Will I push up? Will I mark him? Will I hold a space? You're going to be assisting. You have to be a good kick passer. You have to be smart. You have to be able to get a score. Some teams then put in a defensive 11. Like, you never understand why they do that, because it kills the inside forwards. If you're an inside forward, the one thing you want is a clever 11 who can run the game for you, like a Paddy, like a Ryan Dunhu when he's there. So I agree. I think that Mayo do have a very good thing going. The thing is, their age profile at the back is still so low. if they get into a final against a Kerry or even a Dublin, like, there's going to be big challenges for them. I think that Loud, just thinking ahead, if Loud play their best game, like, they'll really fancy their chances. But what I noticed about Loud today, they're very physical. They're very physical and very brave. And I think that's what they're going to try and unload onto Mayo next or in the semi-final. They're going to be physically strong and overpowering on these young defenders. And it can tell.
Yeah, and Loud have some punch coming in off their bench as well. But I would say Mayo have options coming in off the bench. See, Tommy Conroy is a man reborn the last couple of weeks. Andy Moore was talking afterwards, really interesting. And they didn't say they mismanaged him, but he felt they overminded him. And it meant that he came into championship not really as sharp as he could have been. And it took him a little while this year, that they overminded him. They were a bit too precious maybe with him, given the injury troubles he's had. And now they've just let him off the leash. And he's like a new man.
But you know what he's done, Tom? He's embraced the substitute role.
Yeah.
And do you remember we said it about Shawnee last week, Shawnee Shea? It's a fine line with confidence of a player there. But if you embrace it, you can contribute so much to the really important parts of a match. You can be there kicking the scores, winning the balls when the game is in the melting pot. So I'd way rather be on the field at that stage than be coming off.
My man in the press box downstairs, Jonathan Higgins, my colleague, is tweeting me some breaking news. Pádraig Joyce is staying on for 2 years as Galway manager.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he was after resigning there.
He said I have another two years left. So we'll hear that post-match press conference across off the ball with Pádraig Joyce in a little while. We'll also hear from Ger Brennan. Like, what a difference 4 weeks makes, you know?
16 weeks ago, that Wet Willy Derby happened. This was the Wet Willy Derby, I suppose, James, you had christened it. A couple of tweets coming in, actually. You know, the amount of interest in these games this weekend has been so interesting. Great to see it. Craig. Now, this is Craig's words, not mine. It's great to see Donegal, our man, now Galway out. It's a win for football. James O'Donoghue has been the one pundit ahead of it all, Tommy. He's always said you can't control the game anymore. Coaches that let the boys play are winning out.
Yeah, I'd agree. Like,
I didn't think that there was a bit of a dig at other managers. It was a bit too much, but yeah, that's his comment.
But that's why certain teams and certain players, under the new rules, they're still chugging along, trying to get those bad habits of playing cautious and playing safe out of their system. It's the fellas now who are willing to make mistakes, willing to kick the ball, drop it, be turned over, but then back yourself to win it back. Like, they're the teams that are doing well. And they're the teams where you actually see individual brilliance because they're allowed. It was the first time I actually saw Tyrone play like that, where they were just expansive and fast and free-flowing and wanting to get up the field and kicking great scores. Yeah. Like, I think they've now, hopefully they've gone to that side of it, because the talent they have coming through from the 20s and everything. And I think I said last week that they needed to throw something different at it in attack. And that was it. The pace they were playing at, you know, the shots they were creating so easily from McCurry. And McCurry's like so skillful, taking the shots at all angles, both legs. So I was very impressed by them. But I agree. I think Galway started off playing too slowly. Every attack took too long. And then if you have the ball for ages in attack and you're turned over, it's such a win for the opposition, such a downer for you. And the ball has gone up the other end of the field and over the bar. So Dublin were punishing Galway's errors as well. So yeah, couldn't agree more. Fast football, baby. That's where it's at.
Yeah. Oh, we've seen so much of it this weekend. So much good football. So many glorious forwards in action. How was Darren McCurry so good again this week? How did he do the damage that he did after doing what he did against Mayo? Surely Kerry would have had a plan for when the Dazzler entered the field.
You would have thought so. I don't know. I must say, first of all, I was disappointed with Kerry's handling of him. It's like they slept on him a bit. And Kerry's one-on-one defending, I still think it still needs work. They give chances. As opposed to last year, I think they give away a lot more chances. Now, going back on the point, Tyrone played so much fast, free-flowing football that it was difficult. But McCurry comes on and kicks, was it 9 points? He finished 10 or 10?
I think it was 10.
In a half of football, he's kicked 10 points.
In 25 minutes, James.
You have to be thinking, that's not necessarily great from a defensive point of view, but we're not that type of a pod. It's all about McCurry. There was the point, my favourite one was the point he got off Donnelly. Oh,
yeah.
Like, it's actually, to the naked eye, it's actually the most simple, but if he kicks that normally as a hook kick as he's going away from goal, he gets blocked down. He has to go back towards the own goal to give him that extra half yard to get enough height in it to rule out the block completely. And he just slips it over, lovely. And he gets another one with the left from the left. He gets one with the right from the right. He's showing this array of kicking, and I thought he was fantastic, absolutely fantastic. The level of forward play, Dylan Gainey, David Clifford, McCurry, the three of them, I thought were absolutely fantastic.
They were so good. McElhone came into the game and had some big moments and brought a bit of edge in the last 15, 20 minutes. Got a couple of points.
Mention Conker Park?
The chance for a goal. I'm not going to quote lads. I met him in the tunnel afterwards, and it's okay to say this. I think he thought it was going in. I think he thought it was dipping when he got the strike on the goal. It tipped the crossbar. Yeah,
it was a great chance. And Shane Murphy has a great save as well in the second half. So Tyrone created
from
chances.
Cassidy. Yeah,
Tyrone played a really, really good game. And they'll be very disappointed. I think probably they were the only ones in the country who thought they had a realistic chance. Like, they were written off. Everyone, even we heard Tomás saying that it's Kerry's to lose in terms of the All-Ireland, never mind the quarterfinals. So there was, you know, there was no expectation on them. For them to deliver that performance was great going. But McElhone, he has something. He definitely has something special. If Tyrone had taken one of those goal chances, you know, it would have been a It would have been a very close call.
It would have been. I want to come back to some of the midfielders that we saw on show this weekend, but I think Jack Livingston, in his debut season, could be nearly on a nailed-on all-star at the moment. Like, the two brilliant saves again were not for Shane Murphy. Like, yeah. And I think it was just so obvious yesterday. And even today, you could actually take a nap. And the man beside me in the press box, Paddy Anders, may have once or twice taken a nap or two today in between games. But you could have taken a nap for how long it took Gleeson to kick out the ball. And likewise, a Patrick Doyle. And I don't know whether it's both teams just over-reliant on going long, trying to set up overloads. But it's so slow. And you look at how quickly Murphy is getting the ball. Once it goes wide or goes dead to the tee, to bang, straight out. Ah, it's just the array of kickouts he has. I'll be honest, I knew he was very good. I knew he was a very, very able deputy. But like, most counties lose a two-time All-Star goalkeeper in Shane Ryan, multiple All-Ireland winner in Nets, and you're down. You're lost. You're losing something. And Shane Murphy has just been brilliant, especially these last 3 or 4 weeks. I think he had a tough league final, but ever since, he's gone up another level.
He did. He had a tough league final when Donegal were absolutely on it, kick-out-wise. But Kerry probably hadn't gone to those levels of kick-outs at that time of the year. You're right about the fast kick-outs. I think it makes a massive difference. All through my career, that was always the case of the hardest kick-out to defend is when the keeper is out. Do you remember Cluxton used to have... He'd have a fella nearly throwing him out a ball as it was going over the bar and they were out and they were gone. So to see Kerry doing that is brilliant. But I agree, Murphy's kickouts, especially yesterday, were of the highest, highest level. You're talking about a man playing with serious confidence and he's had his injury struggles. We won't go through that. But for him to be delivering these inch perfect passes, long range passes, basically. Like I say, kickouts, he's not putting it down and lumping it. He's doing these long range passes into fellas' chests and onto their forehead.
Left and right, left foot, right foot. Yeah. It's phenomenal. No, you mentioned the
save. It was a joy to watch.
From Roman Cassidy, like a big one as well. I spent time with a couple of Tyrone people yesterday evening. And you know, loud fans would have been unhappy with the Hurson call. You've already said that it probably looked like a red card, and I've got plenty of messages from people I trust. One of my club captain in Cratlow asked me what I was on, David Collins, where he said it was a definite red card. And David would be a man for a hard hit himself. But Paddy Nealon upset quite a few Tyrone people yesterday. He was blowing the whistle a lot for some of the grappling going on in midfield, and Tyrone actually got the benefit of that a few times, where he'd give them freeze while the ball was in the air for kickouts. But in the middle of Tyrone's purple patch, when they couldn't quite draw level with Kerry, there was two or three decisions that seemed very 50-50. And look, this happens again. And I was trying to make this case last night. Players make mistakes, managers make mistakes, referees are going to make mistakes, pundits make mistakes. But I don't know. I don't know what your read on it was. Do you think Kerry got away with one or two there in the middle?
I do. Yeah, I do. Absolutely no doubt. Like the main, well, there was two for me, which probably went in our favour. The first one was when he's brought up the 50-metre rule because there was interference around the middle. Okay, he brought it up for Kerry. A very similar incident happened for Tyrone and it wasn't brought up. Right, that was the first one. And then you know my take on umpires a lot of the time, right? They're there for the sandwiches at times, right? But for the Dermot O'Connor shot that's deflected out and Dermot actually kicks it wide. That was a big, big moment as well because...
A Tyrone man touched it onto Dermot first. Dermot kicked it wide,
Dermot ends up kicking it wide. No, it's a very hard decision to read for the umpire. It looks like it's a deflected shot, so I wouldn't even blame the umpire in that situation. But again, it's a decision that's gone against Tyrone and it has had a big impact, a massive impact on the...
Huge.
...on the match, so... Tyrone can feel aggrieved, but like I said, these things happen. And Kerry were able to punish when they did get the chances. But definitely those two moments were big, I think.
You got very excited for the Armagh draw in Killarney. You were fairly excited for the Tyrone draw because you were going to be back in Croke Park. What are the James O'Donoghue excitement levels for a Dublin-Kerry All-Ireland semi-final in 2 weeks' time?
Yeah, huge. Like, look, for a Kerry man, I think everyone in the country probably knows that Kerry, Dublin for both counties is the game you want in the summer. It's like you want to have that game. Even thinking about incidents that have happened in that game over the last championship matches, huge moments in the history of the GAA, Shawnee's free even being the most recent one that comes to mind. That is going to be a huge game. And Dublin again are coming in under the radar, simmering along nicely, and they will believe that this is the final. If they beat Kerry, Dublin will think they will win. They will take care of either of the other semi-finalists in the final. So that game, it feels almost bigger than a semi-final. Like you're talking about a Division 2 team in Louth who've had a great, great season, absolutely, no doubt, and a Mayo team that's young, building at the very beginning of a 3 or 4 year plan. So that's one semi-final. This one is the two big dogs. This is Dublin Kerry. It's going to be absolutely packed to the rafters. Dublin written off, you know, humiliated in at times by their own, you know, no one even turning up to their matches. We'll take this game out of Croke Park. We'll throw it into
You don't even know the name of it, do you? Because
I never played there. I was going to say Cusack Park.
I'm not helping you with this.
Anyway, you are. Yes, because you can't remember either.
Parnell Park.
Parnell Park.
That is hilarious.
But for them to even say, take the Donegal game out of Croke Park and put into Parnell Park to give us a chance, and that was genuinely coming out of some Dublin supporters' mouths.
Sorry.
Their manager's
Ger Brennan.
Mouth.
Ger Brennan.
I know, but there was mind games in that as well by Ger, in fairness. You'd have to say that. He didn't genuinely believe that. But Dublin have been written off. This is going to be their All-Ireland final. Khan is back. Basquel's playing great football. Scully's playing great football. The only one they need to probably get right is Costello, who he came off very early today. He didn't look happy on TV coming off. I don't know, maybe you saw more of that, Tommy. But
I didn't
if
notice.
They can get him on song as well, they have a lot of threats. And if they take anything from that Kerry Tyrone game, it's the Kerry one-on-one defensively. Because they play so aggressive in attack, they will leave space and they will leave chances. But you have to be on it in attack.
James, I'd actually like to keep going with this pod because I'm so enthused after another savage weekend of football, but my phone is on 2%. So, and I got to go edit it.
You
and
have
I gotta
to ring
go
Schieffer on the way home.
No, she's gone to Michael Bublé with her mum Emer.
Is she?
Yeah, they went to Lewis Capaldi on Friday. So it was in Thomond. Some great gigs in Thomond at the minute. And three of us are going to Kings of Leon on Wednesday. So that's going to be
nice.
Fun. Yeah.
That will be nice. And you love a concert.
I do like a concert, but Schieffer's putting the heat on now for next Saturday night. I'm covering the All-Ireland Hurling semi-finals doubleheader, and Cork and Galway's on Saturday, Clare Limerick's on Sunday, and Take That are playing in the Aviva, and I've said no chance all along.
Tell me.
But man,
no.
But Take That, it makes her happy. And I'm away a lot at the weekends, so maybe I can find a happy medium and, you know, we can go to the All-Ireland semi-finals.
You can buy her the ticket.
And then go to Take That. Yeah, exactly. Okay, I'm down to 2% now, James. Any final words? You know, we're going to be having lots of pods ourselves for the All-Ireland semi-finals. As I mentioned, we're going to be working with November on the Saturday semi-final outside Croke Park. You know, there's going to be a lot of excitement. But any final words before we wrap up here? And you've got about a minute.
The one thing we didn't mention was Davy Byrne's turnover today when Galway were chasing the game. And they were
huge.
They were hell-bent on getting that equaliser. And Davy Byrne comes in from absolutely nowhere to steal it. I thought, and his form has been questioned and questionable at times, but when it's mattered most in the last couple of weeks, I think he has been fantastic. And the other thing, Gavin White, I thought for Kerry, offensively, gave us such a platform Brilliant. Of just driving on. And I think that's another thing that, like, if you can have someone with pace in the half-back line, bomb on and just slipping it at a great time. Actually, one last thing before your phone goes dead. Clifford's goal was poor defending. It was beautiful play, but Jesus, they should have killed him. I'd rather give away a penalty than leave him in there. But he was sensational again.
It was like he was playing against under 12s. James, we gotta go.
Gotta
charge the pod. the phone and edit the pod. Football pod brought to you by Movember ahead of the game. Already reaching over 16,500 players and coaches. Visit aheadofthegame.movember.com to find out how your pub, your club, not your pub, your club can be a part of
you
it.
You got pub on the mind, but.
We are back with our members pod on Wednesday. James, well done. See you soon.
Thanks, Tom. See you later, man.
The Football Pod on Off the Ball. Brought to you by Movember ahead of the game. Building mentally resilient GAA communities on and off the pitch.